Good morning and welcome. If you have your Bible with you, either in digital form or in printed form, I encourage you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 13 to 16 as we continue in this series of messages, Principles of a Fulfilled Life from the Sermon on the Mount. In this session, I've titled it, Discipleship Makes a Difference. Corruption. Moral decay. Let me ask a question. Is there a need to address corruption? Is morality in need of attention? Today's message is about making a difference. What is our purpose in this world? And for that matter, why are we not already at home in heaven? Well, Paul answered that question in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, where he said, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." What are goals of God's kingdom, and how do you recognize them? Our text presents three goals. And if you haven't turned there already, if you would turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus' words in this passage contain declarations that assign goals for each one of us, goals with a purpose, goals intended to produce results. First, as Christians, we're to seek to influence. Verse 13 of Matthew 5. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." You know, chlorine is a very poisonous yellow gas. Sodium is a highly combustible white substance. Yet together, they form common salt. History reveals salt to be a very valuable mineral. In ancient Greece, salt was traded for slaves who, if they were lazy or not reliable, were said to be not worth their salt. Roman soldiers received a set portion of their wages in a ration of salt because it was a very valuable currency for trading. And that part of their wages that they get in salary was referred to as the salarium argentum. Today, a worker who receives a set regular wage receives a salary, coming from that same word, the salt, the salarium. Jesus used the symbol of salt in this verse. What did he have in mind? Well, I think he had a couple of things in mind. While salt has many uses, some say dozens, some say hundreds, some say more. While it has many uses, three functions of salt clarify the role of Christianity in the world. We are declared to be salt. Declared to be the salt of the earth. A saving factor in a perishing world. Arresting corruption with the truth. Having a continuous influence. Salt penetrates. It tends to dissolve and absorb into things. Salt mixed with ice slows freezing. And why is that? Well, it produces a new solution with a lower freezing point. In the same way, Christians are called to intentionally permeate our society as special agents of Christ's redemptive work. Salt preserves. And that was probably salt's most important use in ancient times. Refrigeration was very difficult to find in warmer climates. Christians are agents called by Christ to arrest corruption and prevent moral decay. Salt also purifies, having an antiseptic effect on germs, which makes it a useful healing tool. Christians cause a cleansing action as they engage the world. God's grace changes us for good. Because you see, we all come the same way. We're all sinners. For all have sinned, they fall short of the glory of God. We all deserve the same wage, the same earning for our sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. But you know, God loves us, and that's why He sent Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, John 3:16 tells us that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And He demonstrated that love. Romans 5:8 tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, what we need to do with that belief that Jesus died for us and that He rose from the dead is make confession. For with the mouth, confession is made unto righteousness, and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth we make confession, and with the heart we believe unto righteousness. And then we just need to reach out and ask. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if salt loses its saltiness, it becomes worthless. Pure salt, let's get this right. Pure salt cannot lose its saltiness. It can't lose its flavor. It can't lose its effectiveness. But salt that was common in the Dead Sea area was contaminated with gypsum and other minerals, making it distasteful and ineffective as a preservative. This type of salt was useful only for keeping a footpath free of vegetation. Luke chapter 14, verses 34 and 35. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Cornelius S. Herbert wrote a book, Minerals and Man, and in there he wrote that ancient Thebes had knowledge of the fact that the salt was contaminated with gypsum and other materials. And as caravans of salt were transported to market along the trade routes, it was carried in these large sacks, and thieves would steal the bags, they'd soak them in water, dissolving the salt and removing it. And then they would return the sacks to the caravans. The traders wouldn't know the difference that anything had happened until they get to market, and then they'd find out that what had happened. The salt lost its savor, and it was of no use as a salt. The traders would then just throw it onto the streets, and it would be walked on by all the people. Christians may make peace with the world to avoid persecution, but in so doing, they forfeit their ordained role as bearers of the gospel message for Jesus Christ. The church has lost much of its effectiveness in the world today and has become widely disrespected. And why is that? Well, simply put, it's lost its saltiness. This does not affect our eternal security, but much of our influence for the gospel is gone. As Christians, we're to seek influence. Second, as Christians, we're to provide direction. Verses 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Aurora Borealis and Aurora Australis, northern lights and southern lights, occur when the sun shoots off protons and electrons. They strike the Earth's atmosphere, and they collide with particles which change their electrical charge. And so they glow much like the charged particles in a common fluorescent tube. Some extend for hundreds of miles in the shape of an arc. Others form a curtain of light. The most common colors seen are green and red. One of the attractions of the northern lights is that they shine when everything else is complete darkness. It can just be completely dark sky so that there's no light shining, and those northern lights will just show up and glow. And that's because they're not reflected light from the sun by the moon. No, they are actually a new thing in the sky because of the particles being charged electrically. So they shine when all else is in darkness. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 19, second part of it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. When the enemy begins to gain ground, the Christians are called to raise the standard, the light of Jesus Christ, to be seen. Philippians 2:15 says it very clearly, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. John 5:35, talking about John the Baptist, he was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. Common homes in biblical times weren't these big complexes that had several rooms and a courtyard. No, the common homes in biblical times were mostly one-room structures. An entire family would live in that one room. And there was a stone that was usually set into the wall of that one-room home. And that stone would protrude out of the wall, and it was referred to as a stand. And it was a place to place a lamp that when lit would give light to the whole room. A bushel was a earthenware piece, like a bowl, that would be put on top of, over the lamp, which would either cover it or extinguish it. And, of course, for lighting purposes, that lamp was useless now because it was under the bushel or the basket. Jesus used the image of a city on a hill for all to see. In biblical times, houses were often painted white in color, and because of that, they reflected whatever light there was. And Christians are to be conspicuous as well, like that. At one time, the country of Belgium was the only country on the planet which could be spotted and identified from a satellite in space at night. And why? Because until recently, every road in the country of Belgium was lighted. And so you could actually see the outline in the country, like on a map, from a satellite in space. Listen, people who are lost need the light of the gospel to show the way to safety, the way to salvation. The basic function of a lighthouse is to show the path to safety. In earlier times, in communities, the church, the steeple on the church, with the cross often on the top of it, was the tallest, the highest structure in the community. People could find it. People could see it easy enough. Anyone could find it. We're called to provide light that the world might respond to God's standards. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. All things that pertain to life, well, that's talking about salvation. We have all the information we need in God's Word to bring us to the place where we put our trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, for forgiveness, for eternal life. And it says, and for godliness. Well, godly living. We have all we need to get the new life, and we have all we need to live the new life. Christians are more effective when we view ourselves as carriers of the light of Jesus Christ. Kind of like mosquitoes that gain the blood and then take it and sting others with it, inject it into others. Well, we're like mosquitoes who have taken the blood of Jesus. We've received it and we pass it on to others. Metaphorically, of course, each person has to individually put their trust in Jesus Christ to receive that blood for forgiveness, for cleansing. We cannot be secret agent Christians and be influential. We must publicly identify with Jesus Christ as the light of the world. We're to influence as the salt of the earth. We're to provide direction as the light of the world. And then, third, as Christians, we're to bring God glory. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You must have a plan and goal of glorifying the Lord. Mark chapter 2. Verse 1, and again Jesus entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven. Now just think about that imagery. Jesus is at this person's house, and the place is full of people, because these multitudes were following him around. And so outside, there was all people everywhere as well. Well, these these four friends, they hear about Jesus. They heard all the stories from others about his healing of people. And so they want to bring their friend. Bring him to Jesus. So they put him on a stretcher, the four of them. They carry him to the house, and when they get there, they see that, man, they can't even get close. All these people are here, outside, inside. So they get an idea. And they climb up onto the roof. Just think about the zeal that was necessary in order for them to be committed enough to not only carry their friend there, but then figure out how to lift him up onto the roof. And then when they get on the roof, well, what are they going to do up there? They start digging and breaking into the roof, and they open up a hole in the roof big enough to drop down the stretcher right in front of Jesus. Well, can you imagine? Jesus is there speaking and teaching, and he hears this noise, and he looks up, and he sees this big hole coming in the roof, and he sees these four guys up there, and then they start to drop down the stretcher, and Jesus is watching all this, and he sees it, and it comes down, and it stops right in front of him on the floor. Can you imagine? What kind of zeal, what kind of friends and faith to bring their friend to Jesus, that Jesus might touch them with his power. Do we have that zeal today for our family members, for our friends, to bring them to Jesus that he might save them for eternity? Do we have that kind of zeal? And Jesus saw that, and he saw their faith, and he healed that man. And he got up, and he was well. Listen, our job is to share the good news. Our job is to tell people about Jesus and his forgiveness and his eternal life offer of salvation. Listen, some accept it, some reject it, but when we tell everyone, our family, our friends, our co-workers, our fellow school classmates, the people out in the community that we deal with on a daily basis, or those who just we have an acquaintance or a quick dealing with, we tell them about Jesus. They accept it, they reject it. But all of them experience hearing that message. All of them experience the presence of the light. Listen, deeds must be done. And often it's not easy to do them. People don't want to hear. Corruption needs the corrective influence of the gospel salt. Moral decay needs the alternative of the gospel's light. The salt of the earth, the light of the world. Let me ask you, will you glorify God as a Christian? Will you let others see Jesus in you by a cleansed life? A godly life gives convincing testimony of God's saving power. The salt of the earth, the light of the world. Good deeds that bring God glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given us this task. You've declared that what we are and what we're to do, that we are the salt of the earth, and that we are to influence this world for Christ. That we are the light of the world, and we are to give direction towards salvation. And that we are to do good works in your name, that glory may come. And Father, we just thank you for this. And Father, I pray that anyone watching, anyone listening to this message would be convicted of their call and the need to be salt and light in this world as Christians, as disciples who make a difference. Father, just pray that the Holy Spirit would work in each one of our hearts, causing us to do business with you, that we might truly be your ambassadors in this world for the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.